I love these guys.
Well, welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. And my name is John Drennan. I'm usually here with my good friend Bill Radford. In fact, we've been doing this podcast every single week since July, the week of the Hall of Fame game. Bill is not with me today. He's traveling and was not able to join. So I do have a special guest. I'm going to start by introducing her, a Lions fan. Her name is Katie Almstrom. She is the oldest of our three children. And the reason that my wife and I moved to New Hampshire because of her and her family, our two grandkids, who at least one of them is a Lion fan. So, hey, Katie, I want to welcome you to the Secondhand Lions podcast, and we'll get this going. Welcome.
Yay, thank you. This is definitely a happy surprise to be here this week.
Yeah, it seems like during the season might have made more sense. If for 2 years, Katie helped share in our getting the tickets so we could watch every single Lions game. Being in New Hampshire, we have no problem watching the New England Patriots games and oftentimes the Buffalo Bills, but the Lions can be difficult. Now, last year, Katie, the Lions had, I believe, 12 primetime games.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't need the ticket so much.
Yep.
But you did join me at one of my listeners know I go to Buffalo Wild Wings in Concord about an hour away, and you joined me with your son Lou one time last year. That was great.
I was thinking about that. I've got a picture of him in his hat, sweatshirt, full Patriots gear. So
yeah,
he got so a let's warm welcome.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So why is Katie on here? Well, she grew up in Michigan, and in the years that the Lions were just terrible, they were horrible. The one year they won no games. And but since the last, I've been in New Hampshire now 6 years, and you know, the last 5 years has been a complete shift with the Detroit Lions. And so Katie, I live very close to, and she's one of my buddies here to watch the Lions. And Katie, I know you just mentioned Lou. He's a Patriots fan and has his Patriots gear. What about our granddaughter, your daughter, Jamie?
Well, I want to talk about Lou for a sec. So my son, I'm really proud of him for kind of stepping out on his own and deciding to be a Patriots fan, because growing up in Ann Arbor, it was very easy to be a Michigan fan. It was easy to be a Lions fan because just everyone around you was. And my parents were from the area. So I know my grandpa was a Steelers fan. And so there was always kind of that, oh yeah, grandpa's watching Pittsburgh in the other room. Everyone else is in this room watching the Lions. And so I think it's just funny because Lou's dad, my husband, wasn't a big football fan growing up. And so Lou has kind of taken it upon himself to bring New England into our New Hampshire home that has been completely dominated with Michigan and Detroit sports. So he is our lone wolf. And my daughter has asked for some Lions gear for her birthday and Christmas, and the poor kid still hasn't gotten anything yet. So we're going to need to get on that.
So listeners are probably thinking, come on, Grandpa, if she wants Detroit stuff, let's get on it. So, and they'd be appropriate.
She wants a lot of stuff. So she's nine.
And by the way, Katie, anyone that knows, you know, growing up in Michigan, that the rest of the world might not know this, but every single Thanksgiving, we got the Lions on.
Yeah.
And so that's such a big deal. And that's now happening in New Hampshire as well.
Yeah, it is really special. And Christmas this year, too. So,
yeah, they played on Christmas, not very well. There was one Thanksgiving, Katie, where you weren't with us, but Lynn, your mom, my wife, and I went to family members where his wife's brother-in-law was the trainer for the Lions. So we had dinner later because we waited for him to arrive after the game. And that was really interesting to be able to get his immediate insights following that game. So Well, you mentioned New England and your son, and I also admire that he's a New England guy growing up here. I got to tell you, and for our listeners, when I moved here from Detroit, keep in mind that was before Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, and I moved into New England just as they were starting their downfall after losing Tom Brady and so on. But I would listen to sports talk radio, and I just couldn't believe how spoiled the fans were here and how they just, their expectations were so high. And I'm thinking, you guys have no clue. Like I just would hope for a winning season once in a while, get in the playoffs once in a while. And now, as Bill, my partner on this, and I have talked about, our standards have gone up so much that this year everyone's so disappointed, even though we had a winning season. And I get that. So.
No, I've noticed that too, how quickly our standards changed with the Lions, where I sort of jumped on the bandwagon maybe in their second or third year with Dan Campbell, and just noticing how disappointed I was when they didn't make it to the Super Bowl in their third year of their transformation.
Right.
It was just it's fun to have those expectations, and kind of funny to look at yourself. And I think a big part of that is because I've been in this area for almost 20 years. I've seen the Patriots win again and again. I've seen the Red Sox win again and again. And with the Lions, you're right. Like, we would joke, we had jokes about how they were 0-7, 0-8, 0-9. A win or two wins was exciting. So
Yeah.
we've really come a long way, and I think it's fun to be in this place where people are excited about them. I love to go, on like the not chat forums, but YouTube, watching replays and all the comments, and just people all over the country are excited about the Lions, and it's just fun to be part of that.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned you grew up in Ann Arbor, and a connection that we kind of have to the Patriots was Tom Brady, who was close to your age, a little bit older, and played in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, when Katie was in school there. And so we knew all about Tom Brady. I honestly wasn't surprised that he had a great career. Obviously, I didn't know he'd become the GOAT, but he was so good at Michigan. It just so smart, so no turnovers, great throws, great reads, and that just all the stuff that transfers to the NFL. So, yeah, we had that connection with New England. So, well, Katie, I want to dig into for our listeners just kind of an unfolding of what's taken place so far this spring. We're in the spring season of combines and then the free agency, and the draft is only 8 days away. I'm so excited about that. So I'm just going to kind of go through some things here, and feel free to comment at any point. I'll move quickly, but I want to talk about notable losses to the Lions this year, starting with Taylor Decker, their left tackle. Most of us thought he won't be back, even if he wanted to be, because he's just not worth the money they would have had to pay. He's had a lot of injury issues. A lot of people thought he might retire, but he's not a Lion. Graham Glasgow, last year's center, who's done really well for the Lions the last few years, but just didn't do it at center. And I don't know if he retired. I think he did, but he's gone. Alex Anzalone, most people thought he would be gone just for contract reasons. And Alkmaar Muhammad, their edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson, he went to the, I believe, Tampa Bay, so he's gone. And each of those players, to our listeners, are all 30 years old or older. So that was, the Lions are moving toward a younger roster. Other notable losses, Ray Lopez did a really great job on the D line last year. He's, I think, went back to the Cardinals, but he did a good job for us for 1 year. He was a defensive lineman. Amik Robertson, a lot of people thought he might leave, same reason. I think he was 30 or pushing 30 and went seeking a bigger contract than the Lions would pay. Khalif Raymond, loved by his teammates, a good punt returner, a good extra receiver. He's with the Bears, which he would have gone anywhere but the Chicago Bears. He'll be playing for them. And speaking of the Bears, Katie, your favorite Lions player, you got his jersey this year at
I
Christmas.
know.
David Montgomery got traded and moved on. And should we have a moment of silence?
I actually didn't realize all those other players that you just named were leaving either. So I'm holding back tears right now. It's again just like it's been so much fun watching this team develop over the last several years, and there is some really kind of standout characters that you could just pick out easily watching them play. So yeah, but Montgomery, gosh, he's something special. I'm wearing his jersey as we speak, and just excited to see what he does next. Hopefully not too well against the Lions, though.
Yeah, and he's with Houston, so I don't even know if we'll play them this year.
That's right. He was in Chicago before he came to Detroit, right?
And in
Yeah.
fact, every time we played Chicago, I was so annoyed by him because he was so good. I mean, every
Yeah.
time he touched the ball, I thought, okay, here we go. So when I heard we got him a couple 3 years ago, I thought, this is great. And it was great.
It
He's
was
a
great.
great player. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, all those names I mentioned, Taylor Decker was the only holdover from the former coaching staff. Then Alex Anzalone came in first year that Campbell did, so he was here for all five of those seasons. Has it been? Yeah, it has been five. I think Graham Glasgow, same thing. I think they brought him in. He's been here at least 4 years, and Khalif Raymond, 5 years. So those guys have all been around. The last name I'll mention, Josh Pascal, he's not back. So those, and I think there are some others, but those are the most notable not coming back. So that left a lot of holes. Decker, we have to check these boxes and fill these holes. Decker is a tackle, Glasgow is a center, Anzalone is a reliable linebacker, Muhammad is a reliable edge rusher. Ray Lopez is a good D lineman. Amik Robertson, the starting D back. Khalif Raymond, a special teams and backup receiver. Obviously, Montgomery and Josh Pascal, who didn't play last year, but previous years had been a reliable backup. So, have we filled those holes? Let's talk about the add-ons. In no particular order, I love that we picked up Isaiah Pacheco, who played for, I believe, two Kansas City Super Bowls and really ran hard. I remember I had kind of the same impression of him as I used to have for David Montgomery, just runs so hard. Now, he got hurt 2 years ago, didn't play as well last year, but again, being one more year removed from that injury, if he's close to form this year, he's actually a really good replacement for David Montgomery. Roger McCrary, a cornerback who's a starting level cornerback, is going to strengthen that and potentially a replacement for Amik Robertson. Christian Isian, and I'm not sure I'm saying every name right, but he's another potential starting D back at either safety or cornerback to help fill the loss of Amik Robertson. Tyler Conklin is a starting level, certainly backup level tight end. And last year, Katie, you probably remember at the end of the year, we were without our two starting tight ends.
Right.
Oh, what's his name? Our starting tight end. I have a senior moment typically every time I do one of these. And our
I'm
backup, Brock Wright.
Laporta.
Yes, Sam Laporta. I don't know why I have trouble. His name is one I just, him and Khalif Raymond. Our listeners know. John, come on, get those names. But yeah, definitely Laporta and Brock Wright were both hurt. Well, they should both be back, and Tyler Conklin will add to that room. Big addition is Cade Mays, our center. We got on a 3-year contract, and everybody's really high on him to anchor that because last year, We just didn't have that center play. Larry Borum, who is certainly a strong backup tackle, but according to the Lions, could be a starting tackle. So helps to replace the loss of Taylor Decker. Greg Dortch is a receiver that came from the Arizona Cardinals, where our new offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing, is from. So those guys have history. Everything I hear about Dortch, he's a pretty reliable backup to Khalif Raymond. He's a good punt returner. He's a good receiver, slot receiver, got great hands, and he's younger. And by the way, Pacheco's a few years younger than Montgomery. And on the Montgomery trade, let's go back to David Montgomery. Well, that was a huge loss. We got a fourth round draft pick to be used this year. We got Juice Scruggs, who's a backup offensive lineman, and we went out and got Isaiah Pacheco for a lot less money, and he's a few years younger. So overall, I think the Lions, that trade and addition of Pacheco strengthened us in spite of the loss of Montgomery.
Well, and
Okay.
like you said, everyone is really young. So, I mean,
Right.
these guys are all 25, 26, 27. So that's a really nice runway for the next several years.
Yeah, great comment. You're right. Everyone I mentioned is in that mid-20s. Couple more. Damone Clark is a veteran linebacker to help replace the loss of Alexander Anzalone. Ben Bartsch is a backup offensive lineman and again to give depth there. DJ Wanham is an edge rusher that has started many games in the NFL that basically, in my mind, replaces the loss of Muhammad. And he's more of a run stopper than Muhammad was, maybe less of an edge. My dog's barking right now. Katie, can you hear that?
No, my dog's barking too. Can you hear him?
No. So we got good filters here. My
Zoom
dog
is
just.
Zoom's pretty good.
Yeah, good. Peyton Turner, another backup edge, is on the roster. Two more. Teddy Bridgewater, who was a Lion in the past, he's a reliable backup quarterback because another notable loss is Kyle Allen, our backup quarterback's no longer with us from last year, but Bridgewater is. And finally, they announced the signing of Chuck Clark, and he shows up in the roster, but he doesn't show up in the free agency notes. So he's a backup safety who I believe is on the roster. We also re-signed our kicker, Jake Bates. We re-signed Rodriguez as a linebacker. Nowatzki is a linebacker. Tom Kennedy, who's I think this is his fifth or sixth year now with the Lions. We signed Levi Onorisky. I'm saying his name wrong, but he was out all last year injured, but the year before did quite well. We re-signed Miles Adams. I think Dan Thomas as a backup safety, Rock Ya-Sin, and Avante Maddox. Both those guys, all three of those guys I just named, all did great last year filling in the defensive backfield. So just a lot of movement going on. And Katie, right now, if we look at the roster on their Lions website, it shows 66 players. By the time you get your team together, you've got 53 on the active roster and 13 on the practice roster available. So there you go. Any comments on that flood of information I just shared?
I didn't hear Hutchinson. He just re-signed 4 years as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, I only talked about players who were free agents.
Ah, got it.
And yeah, so the core of the team, people like Hutch and Jahmyr Gibbs
Yeah.
and so on, they're all locked in.
No, those numbers are really strong. So they've got, I mean, I'm no expert at this, but it seems like they've got some flexibility and choice going into the draft because they're set up so well already with their numbers. So it'll be really fun to see what they do.
Yeah, and I actually think that's a perfect comment because you're right. They have flexibility now in the draft because potentially they filled every hole. Now, that doesn't mean they filled the holes to the degree to get them in a Super Bowl, but they did exactly what you said, created the flexibility now in the draft. For example, with Larry Borum, they could say, we know we need a tackle. But if they could get the guard from Penn State, who's considered probably the best offensive lineman in this draft, even though he's not a tackle, he could come in and anchor the left guard position for a decade, and then Larry Borum could potentially still play tackle. But yeah, there's a lot of options. So, hey, I do want to talk about the draft. That's coming up. And before I do, just real quick note, I was sharing with you, Katie, there's a story some of our listeners might know of a player that stood outside Allen Park, the practice facility, 2 days ago. And by the way, folks, this is Wednesday, 8 days before the draft. So 2 days ago, Freddie McGee, who's from Canton, Michigan, played at Salem High School, walked on at Eastern Michigan, played there. Last year was the MVP of the Arena Football League with 14 interceptions. He's a real gritty guy, and he stood at outside the arena with a big sign and with his football cleats wrapped around his neck over his shoulders. The sign said, "I've got grit," and it's basically a sign, "Give me a chance." And I saw him interviewed this morning on NFL Today, and he talked about how he's ever had to earn every single thing in life. He's got a lot of grit. He's 5'8", 175 pounds or so, but was MVP in the Arena Football League. He just wants a chance. So I only bring that up because it's an interesting story, and who knows, will they give him a chance? Will he make the roster? No one knows, but
And if not the Lions, will someone else give him a shot? So yeah, super fun story to follow.
yeah, you're right. And he was asked, has he heard from any agents? And he says, yes, he has, because agents are looking for players that can they can make deals with. So,
Oh, amazing. That's really fun.
all right. Well, Katie, I'm no pro expert with this. It's not my living. I'm not a reporter. I don't go to all that many things. I don't go to anything except I went to the draft 2 years ago. And by the way, the draft coming up, I got to tell you, that was an absolute blast being in Detroit 2 years ago for the draft amongst about a quarter million people every single day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and being part of that spectacle. This year it's in Pittsburgh. I thought about going. My wife said, you should go to that job. But anyhow, I do follow a lot of the mock drafts, and the drum I've been beating all spring, I mean, all the way back to January, is the Lions need to take their first two picks and get an edge and a tackle, and not in that order based on who's available. And I still believe that those are their first two picks. And I may, my thought a few weeks ago was we've got the 17th pick. And we know we can get a good tackle or a good edge with that pick. And then we've got the 50th pick. I have proposed the Lions trade their 50th pick plus next year's second round pick, plus maybe one of their two this year fourth round picks, and see if they could move up. So, for example, the Dolphins have the 10th or 11th pick, I think the 10th. They're in a big time rebuild. So, would they take this year's 50, this year's fourth round, and next year's second round and say, yeah, we'll do that deal? If the Lions could do that at 10 and 17, they nail their biggest needs, an edge and a tackle. I'm the only person I know of who's proposed something like that. So.
Well, you have seen Draft Day 100 times, so it's front of mind. I think it's just fun that we don't have the first pick. Again.
Yeah, right. A
So
great comment. Yeah, we're not.
17th pick is a good problem to have, right?
Well, Katie, back, when you were a kid, they had, I think, the first round pick 3 years in a row. That's how bad they were. They just couldn't escape it.
Is that how they got Barry Sanders in the 90s?
Yeah, but not first round. No,
No.
he was, I believe, I'm sorry, he was first round, but I meant first
Not
pick
first
in the
pick.
entire
No, I
draft.
know. I
Yeah, he
know.
was, I think he was second or third. But those 3 years in a row, I believe every year we took a receiver. Just crazy. So,
Oh my, well.
but I feel like they've got 9 draft picks. They've got first round, second round, 2 fourth, 2 fifth, 2 sixth, and a seventh. I feel like they could almost give all seven. I mean, if they did my suggestion and gave up this year's 50th pick and a fourth rounder, even if they had to add a fifth and sixth rounder, that'd still leave them with another fourth rounder and another six. Or another fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh, because they do need to get another linebacker. And, I'd like to see them get another safety. But boy, if they can nail those first two, I think they're positioned for Super Bowl. So,
Will this be the year?
well, we hope so. So, in wrapping up, Katie, I'm sure you know this because I talk about it all the time on this podcast, but Bill and I started this podcast to take the journey with the Lions to the Super Bowl. Really hoped it would be this last year. And folks, it could have been, I think, if, well, no, it couldn't, but in retrospect, we had the roster, but it got so beat up, losing both safeties, losing two tight ends, et cetera. It's just hard to recover. But, we didn't have the right offensive coordinator, but I think that's a huge hole we've fixed this year. Time will tell. So, no, it wasn't last year, but we certainly have the pieces where it could be this year. So, and I know you'll be there with me texting. If we're not physically together, we'll be texting throughout the games this upcoming season. So, anything
Definitely.
else you want to say?
Go Lions.
That's a good way to finish. So, folks, next week I'll be back on with Bill, probably right before the draft. And then once the draft happens, we might do a special edition, but we'll certainly be talking a lot about that going forward. So, with that, thanks for listening. Katie Almstrom, thanks for being on here and part of this today. And we'll be back next week, folks. Take care.
Thank you.